How stable is this recovery?
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, it's the Morning Open. Good morning, I'm Steve Chiatakis. We're awaiting word from the Commerce Department on more manufacturing news. So-called factory orders out in about 10 minutes. And we get a pending home sales report as well, which will gauge the status of the housing market. We're going to have a preview of that coming up. But first, where's Wall Street? Markets are down right now, down big time. The Dow off about 147 points at just a hair above 11,000, 11,004. The S&P off about 1.5%, the same for the Nasdaq. Actually, the Nasdaq's off about 2% right now. European shares are lower, too, by about 1%, 2.5% for Parisian shares today. And Asian shares slipped as well in overseas trading. Drug maker Pfizer said today profits soared for the first 3 months of the year. They credit last year's purchase of rival Wyeth. And drugstore CVS Caremark also reported a bigger-than-expected rise in quarterly profit. All right, onto those reports that we're expecting in just a few minutes. Julie Neiman is an analyst at Smith Moore & Company. She's with us live from St. Louis. Good morning, Julie.
Morning, Steve.
So, all right, factory orders and pending home sales. What are we going to see, what will these things say about a recovery?
Well, we've got some semi-exciting economic news here, but unfortunately, it's less than meets the eye. You take a look at consumer spending. It is up twice income growth. People hit savings. This is always short-term. When consumer spending isn't based on fundamentals, you have growing income, it fizzles. Now, incomes, way up. Government transfers were the reason, though, unemployment compensation, and it's down about 4% since the beginning of the recession. Manufacturing is the really exciting news, though. The index is up over 50, but it's demand for exports. And our trading partners have to be strong. Europe's really weak. It's still in recession. And then we've got problems with the debt in Greece and Spain and the rest of the world. So that's going to cool off, especially as you get a strong dollar here. Construction, that's the really exciting news, too. But it's stimulus money. You have a 2.3% rise in public construction, airports, highways, transportation, utilities, and a decline in private investment here.
I'm sensing a theme with you, Julie, that perhaps there's you know, for everything positive we have, there's something to explain it.
It's always looking behind the news and what's driving it. These are temporary conditions. We still don't have a significant economic recovery.
And we're less than a month from the start of hurricane season, and we have this oil leak in the Gulf of Mexico. Is our economy so fragile, do you think, that those things could derail it?
Oh, this is something that could send us right back into recession. If oil goes over $4 a gallon, that's an economy killer. Summer driving season could be like last year's. You drive around the block and back. You have a new round of unemployment as a focus from this, too, from state and local governments and layoffs. And it's the flooding in the South and the hurricanes and the oil spills is absolutely killing the economy in the South. That's a bigger drag on the economy as well. So we're very fragile in terms of a recovery.
Julie Neiman from St. Louis. Julie, thanks.
You bet.
We talked about that oil spill in the Gulf of Mexico. Officials from BP today and the U.S. Coast Guard and the federal government are trying to stop and contain thousands upon thousands of gallons of oil from gushing freely there. All the while, the Obama administration keeps contending the global energy company will pay for the damage. In the meantime, people affected by the environmental disaster, those who live around the Gulf Coast, are training to help in the cleanup. Reporter Kate Archer-Kent is with us from Bay St. Louis, Mississippi. Good morning, Kate.
Good morning.
What are they being trained for?
They're being trained in a basic safety training course. It's mainly geared toward volunteers who are picking up litter on the beaches.
And this is akin to sort of like sweeping before mopping the kitchen floor, right?
Yeah, they want to make sure that when this oil does wash ashore, it doesn't create more hazardous material. And that's why they put these volunteers to work in a pre-cleanup on these beaches.
And how many people are we talking about, Kate?
Well, BP told me Gulf-wide they have 1,000 people trained so far and that they're not turning anyone away. Here in Hancock County, Mississippi, they had about 80 people show up yesterday, and this training will go on all week.
Does anyone know where this slick is going to wind up?
No. BP is watching the weather just like everyone is, trying to figure out where it will wash ashore. They just don't know. But they want to have people trained and in place wherever it does wash ashore.
Reporter Kate Archer-Kent is with us from Bay St. Louis, Mississippi. Kate, thanks.
You're welcome.
We'll be right back. You're listening to the Marketplace Morning Report for Tuesday, May 4th, 2010, at marketplace.org. Just weeks after Iceland's volcano sent plumes of ash and smoke over northern Europe, there are still travel delays in spots, but not near the problem it once was. From London, Marketplace's Stephen Beard reports.
All flights in and out of Ireland were grounded this morning, but the airlines are relieved the rest of Europe was unaffected. Last month, a similar cloud of volcanic ash shut down much of the sky over northern Europe for a week. The travel industry lost an estimated $3 billion. Now the authorities have followed a different procedure. David Henderson of the Association of European Airlines.
Today, there isn't so much difference in the cloud and where it is, but the closures so far have been much more restrained. It's certainly more proportionate to the risks involved, that's for sure.
The authorities have only banned flights through airspace with the most ash, but the airline industry is nervous about another Icelandic volcano. It's huge and is expected to erupt within the next few years. When it does, Icelanders say, it'll make the latest eruptions seem like mere fireworks. In London, this is Stephen Beard for Marketplace.
The Senate starts getting into specifics of financial reform legislation today. One item up for grabs is a proposed bank tax to help pay for the bailout. Treasury Secretary Tim Geithner will be on Capitol Hill this morning lobbying for it. The public's still angry at taxpayer-financed bailouts. And as Marketplace's John Dimsdale reports, bank tax supporters are feeling the wind at their backs.
The White House proposal would hit up big banks for $90 billion over the next 10 years. That's just a little less than the projected taxpayer losses from the Troubled Asset Relief Program.
The bank tax is going to have a lot of populist appeal and is going to be hard to defeat.
Public Citizens Robert Weissman says public outrage should overcome heavy bank lobbying against the tax.
They want to recover some of the money from the beneficiaries, especially as they see these same beneficiaries taking out billions of dollars in profits and bonus compensation.
But banks say they're already reimbursing taxpayers. Phil West is a tax partner at Steptoe & Johnson.
The main incidence of the tax falls on institutions that didn't create any of the TARP losses.
The real scofflaws, he says, are GM, Chrysler, and AIG. But supporters of the bank tax are even considering making it permanent to raise enough money to avoid future bailouts. In Washington, I'm John Dimsdale for Marketplace.
A new law in Washington, D.C. requires food and grocery shoppers to pay for their bags. It's the only major city in the country with a mandatory fee. The city says bag use is down dramatically because of it. Marketplace's Nancy Marshall-Genzer has more.
In Washington, it's no longer paper or plastic. It's, do you want to pay for a bag? Food stores have to charge 5 cents for any bag. The money goes toward fishing plastic bags from Washington's clogged Anacostia River. Washington lawyer Ken Jacob never pays for a bag, even if that means a delicate balancing act.
I haven't done it myself, although it's only a matter of time, but I've seen people drop their sodas and in opening doors and stuff like that.
I've done some balancing myself. I like to buy a cup of soup to bring back to the office. I never, ever pay for a bag. Part of it is I'm cheap, but I also want to do my bit for the environment. Whatever the reason, shoppers at food stores here only used about 3 million bags in January. That's down from about 22 million a year ago. Marcia Levi is co-owner of Chocolate Moose, a Washington gift shop.
I would say 80% of my customers are now declining to purchase a bag for 5 cents.
At first, Levi didn't think the bag law applied to her. She only sells chocolate on the side. A lot of other merchants were confused. Pleasure Place sells edible body frosting. Did it have to charge the 5 cent bag fee? Yep. D.C. Councilmember Tommy Wells says expanding the law could clear up confusion.
To go ahead and just say it covers everybody that uses disposable bags, that may be the solution.
So all Washington stores would charge 5 cents a bag, no matter what they sold.
Do you need a bag?
No, actually, I have a bag. Thank you.
Back at Chocolate Moose, Nancy Wilkinson is buying some cards. She brought her own reusable bag, but she says that bag won't always do.
If you're buying a dress at Talbot's or something, I mean, with the chances of you having an appropriate bag to bring it home for something you paid $150 for is probably not reasonable.
But paying to bag that dress might become reality, and not just in Washington. The Maryland legislature has considered its own 5 cent bag tax. In Washington, I'm Nancy Marshall-Genzer for Marketplace.
This week, Colorado is expected to pass a bill that links teachers' jobs to student performance. It's the latest front in a national battle over teacher tenure. Marketplace's Eve Troe reports.
The Colorado bill would tie a teacher's evaluation to student scores on standardized tests. If the scores are good 3 years in a row, the teacher can get job protection. If the scores are too low for 2 years, the teacher could be fired.
It's an interesting kind of twist that the test scores have low consequences for students, but high consequences for teachers.
Aaron Pallas is a professor at Teachers College of Columbia University. He says the bill plays into a popular element of education reform. Weak teachers must be cleaned out of the system. Mike Miles is superintendent of the Harrison School District in Colorado Springs, Colorado. He says teachers may not be ready for the new standards.
Almost everybody gets a proficient or exemplary evaluation. That's not real.
The bill is part of Colorado's bid to qualify for funds from Race to the Top, a federal grant program for schools. It's expected to clear the legislature this week. I'm Eve Troe for Marketplace.
And finally, the airlines have made a science out of charging for bits and pieces of your trip. A fee for checked bags, pillows and blankets perhaps too. Now a new study says some hotels will likely collect more fees and surcharges this year for obvious things such as internet access and room service, and for new things as well. A fee to store your bags, even a charge to check out early. The study's author says you can avoid a lot of these fees by joining a hotel reward program. I say maybe you can stay with your in-laws. I'm Steve Chiotakis in Los Angeles. Share your thoughts with us at marketplace.org. This is the Marketplace Morning Report.
American Public Media.